Thank you for this good Christian man you've brought from far away. Thank you for his passion. Thank you for his ministry. Thank you for the great blessing he's been to CCP. Thank you for his wife, Becky. And we say thank you for Becky and Wiramu. And we pray that he'd speak to us now from your word. We'd take on board what he has to say. And that we'd have a little think. Because the ministry to the next generation, as we've thought about passing the baton, it's vitally important. So this man needs our prayer and our love and our support. So bless him as he speaks to us, and may we have ears to hear. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Hello. You can hear me? How am I going to do this? I might just hold it, actually. Like a rock star. Okay, I'm going to be reading from my script, so bear with me on that one. Hi, everybody. Yes, my name is Wiramu Kingi, and like John said, I'm the senior youth worker at CCP, and I'm also the chaplain at Lowton Church of England High School. It is a real treat to be here sharing with you, sharing my heart with you, and to be sharing dinner with you, although I did have too much dinner this afternoon, so I couldn't fit much more in. It may have become apparent to you that my accent is not from Lee. God decided to show off when Alan was looking for a youth worker. Instead of finding someone local, God plucked someone from the faraway shores of Kiwiland or New Zealand, as you might know. I was reminded of this at Soul Survivor the other day. We were introducing ourselves, and a boy named Callum said hi, and I said, "Hi, Callum," and then a boy named Ben said hi, and I said, "Hi, Ben," and a boy next to me looked really confused, and he tapped me on the shoulder and he said, "His name's Ben, not Bean." That was an ongoing joke throughout all of Soul Survivor. And he still looked confused every time I said Ben. Today I want to look at the scripture that is titled The Great Commission. And I want to try and bring it to life with the stories of the youth ministry that I've been involved in. So if you have your Bibles or your Bible apps, turn to Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. I'm going to read from the NIV version, so if you don't have that version, be prepared to be confused. Okay, from verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen. Now, when praying about this message, I got a sense that we really, through this message, that God wants us to know that he loves us. And then he wants us to share this with others. I also feel like he was saying that he wants every family in our neighborhoods to have the good life that he planned for them. So let's pray again. Dear Father, help us to understand what you're trying to say to us today through the scripture. Amen. So when I first read this scripture, I was struck by Jesus claiming to have all authority in heaven and on earth. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." There's a part of me that doesn't like being bossed around, and this, in my opinion, is very bossy. Unless I respect somebody, I find it hard to come under their authority and obey their commands. Earlier in Matthew, earlier before this scripture, Jesus Christ has been killed and put in a tomb to rot. But when the woman bought spices for Jesus' body, the angel said to them, "He is not here." Jesus had rose from the dead to sit at the right hand of the Father. Death could not hold him, and now he has proven his power. My point is that his authority is unquestionable now that he's been risen from the dead. I've come to respect Jesus and his authority because of this, and not to mention his sacrifice for my salvation. He can be as bossy as he likes with me now, if you ask me. Reading and knowing this, however, didn't completely convince me of his authority. It was encountering him that did. As a young man, one of my peers and an older man in the church actually came up and prayed for me one night at church, kind of like this. One of them said, "Wuramu, I was praying for you and I got a picture of a father wrapping his arms around his son, around you, in a big bear hug. It warmed my heart." And I was almost brought to tears. It's exactly what I needed to hear. And then the other guy looked at me, stunned. He said, "That's the exact same picture that I think God was saying to me." He uttered in shock. I was blown away as a searching believer because it was just amazing. This coincidence that obviously wasn't a coincidence only. Knowing that God could speak directly to my heart through some brave people in the congregation who would come up and pray for me was incredible. And I was ready in that moment to submit my life to God after he had revealed his care for me. Now, when young people get the opportunity to encounter God like they have at Soul Survivor recently, he often shows up. I think as a church, we are responsible for that. I think as a church, as the church, whether it's offering prayer or sending them to Soul Survivor or just investing in them, we're responsible to help them encounter God. And also to all the young people out there, hi. My advice is to take these opportunities. When someone offers prayer or something, someone offers you the opportunity to go to a conference, get into it. Your faith is your own. Take ownership of it and make the most of it. Seek God out. He will show up and reveal himself. Now, moving on in the scripture, like anybody, young people, and us actually, we all have doubts. One young girl that Soul Survivor asked that if God can move mountains and he's so powerful, why is the world so broken and messed up? Later that day, we tried to give her answers, but she didn't really care. She just wanted to go have fun. But as a child, as a 12-year-old, she still had those questions. A few other young boys at the summer games club that I have at the high school, they stated the facts about Christianity and compared them with what they knew about other religions that they'd been learning. They were not convinced of either Christianity or other religions. An 18-year-old girl at camp recently was brave enough to challenge our interpretation of the creation story, while a 13-year-old boy decided to pipe up and weigh in on that juicy topic. It was kind of confusing, actually. In verse 17 of the scripture, it says, "But some doubted." Jesus came. He'd risen from the dead, but some doubted. I just want to just put it out there that this is normal, I think, for us to doubt. It's normal for us to question faith at some point, whether it's on our way to faith or during a faith or both. I believe that we as a church are here for each other in that confusion. The first two young people only shared their thoughts because they were asked. A youth leader or a grown up actually asked them, "What do you think about that sermon? What do you think about Jesus and this?" And they shared their thoughts. The 18-year-old, however, only shared her thoughts because she had a captive audience around a dinner table, which I think is done really well here at SVC. Both the food, obviously, and that kind of community. And if we are available to each other and we ask the hard questions, then growing in our faith is inevitable. Dealing with doubts as a family just becomes normal, and I love that. So yeah, it says, "But some doubted." In the Message translation, it says, "But some doubted." Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. It's like Jesus was okay with the doubters, even though they were like, "Oh, is that really Jesus?" It was like he expected it. And I find this comforting to know that the doubters, they weren't banished in that very moment for not believing, but instead they were given the same challenge regardless. So it makes me feel better about myself sometimes. Now moving on in the scripture, onto the part where he commands us to do stuff. In the Message translation, it says, "Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you." the Message translation takes the words, go and make disciples, to train everyone you meet. That clears up the meaning of making disciples. In one way or another, teach everyone you meet is what Jesus... Or teach everyone... Oh, this is the command. In one way or another, teach everyone you meet what Jesus has taught you about this way of life. It's a huge challenge, I think. So, to summarize this part of the scripture, I think the crux of the scripture is Jesus is asking us to take what we know and not just have it for ourselves, although he does want us to have that love for ourselves, but he's saying, look outside yourself as well. Invest in others so that they know the way of life he has taught you, the best way of life. And I'll come back to this later. Now, it's all good knowing that Jesus is Jesus. He's the King. And that's enough sometimes for me to just say, yeah, I'll do whatever you say, Jesus. But I can add more motivation. I mean, when I think of children and young people and families in our community who don't know this way of life that we've learned or that we are learning, it breaks my heart. This means that they don't know Jesus. They don't know their Savior. And that they go through life without him. I was praying once to God, like, what is it about this neighborhood that breaks your heart, Lord? And he put some children's faces in my head, and he said, I love them, and I want them a part of my family. And I think of hundreds of them. There's so many in this neighborhood that need him. I think what Jesus is asking, and I don't want to elaborate on it, but what he is asking us to do has eternal significance, not just in this life. It is very important in this life, but it is eternal. It also has a huge impact, I think, changing tact, on a Christian's purpose in life. Francis Chan said that following the command of Jesus, given in Matthew 28, is the ultimate antidote to a purposeless existence. He says, how many people wander through life wondering if they wasted it? And my challenge is also to young people in schools is to look at your school as a mission field. You see the most young people. You're a young person. You see the most out of all of us. Now, my point here is that there is enough reason, apart from just obeying our King, to take this command seriously. Now, while I've been teleported across the seas to have my heart broken by God for the youth and children of Lee, I don't think I'm the answer, although I might be close. Go and make disciples of all the nations can sometimes really sound like a message exclusive to missionaries who go to unreached countries that are out of our reach and other, yeah. And sometimes it sounds like it's just for a paid staff member. Like myself. And I tell you what, it is my favorite thing to do. But that's not the whole truth. There was a man in his 50s who had quite a big belly. He wore a bright Hawaiian shirt. He wore khaki shorts, kind of like safari shorts. And whenever a new person came into the door, he would zoom right over to them, especially if they're a young man. I was interested, so every now and then I'd listen in on his conversation. And the first thing that he'd say was, what is your number, and can we go out for coffee? Now, I don't know about you, but I thought that was a bit creepy. Really creepy, actually. Talking to a young man, however, who had met with this guy for a couple of coffee dates, I was soon humbled. This man in the Hawaiian shirt and the creepy questions had actually been the most influential person in his journey in faith and transition into church. My point is that we can't limit this command, this mission, to the missionaries or the paid church staff members. Coming back to my point earlier, we are called to invest in others, whoever we are. If an odd man in a Hawaiian shirt and khaki shorts can do it, so can you. It's so important for us as a church to know that we all have something to offer when making disciples of all the nations, including the youth. I feel like I'm picking on you, Evie, because I can't see. Personally, I even think that, like, a place to start would be just to have a simple hello or a smile when walking down the street, even to a young person, is valuable. Be prepared, however, to be ignored. The other day, I was walking down the street. I was walking towards someone, and I caught their eye. And I said, hi, with a big smile. I thought I'm making this guy's day. I'm a real Jesus follower right now. He proceeded to stare in my eyes with a stern face till he walked right past me. No words were shared in that moment. I was depressed. It's not making disciples by saying hi, I know that. But it's a start, right? It's a good thing I know that God loves me. I don't need him to say hi to be, you know, although I was rejected. Now, Alan said the other day, I just want to elaborate on the fact that God, Jesus says that he is with us through all of this, through this massive challenge. Alan said the other day to myself and Jill that strategy is critical in making a difference. Alan said, if you want to make a lasting difference, however, you need to be able to change the culture. But if we want to make a real difference, we need a move of the Holy Spirit. In verse 20, Jesus says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is by far my favorite part of of today's message. Francis Chan says, if the Great Commission sounds impossible to you, that's because it is. But never fear, Jesus is here. For he promises, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. My question then would be, how? Jesus reveals how it is possible for him to be with us always through the presence of his Holy Spirit. And boy, is it good. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you, he shall be with you and in you. I found through waiting on the Holy Spirit to speak to me in my own personal prayer time has revealed that he is in fact present and he is in fact comforting. What a loving Abba Father we have in our God. An older lady, when I was a young man, an older lady, you could still say I'm a young man, an older lady who was like a surrogate grandmother to me, taught me. She taught me to connect with the Holy Spirit. She said, sit down with a pen, grab a piece of paper, and ask God these two questions. Lord, what do you think of me? And Lord, what are your plans for me? Answer them individually, separately. And then she said, let the pen do the talking. Or pen. And I feel like the Holy Spirit really speaks to me in those times. I'm really reassured in who I am and who God thinks I am and what his will is for me. I recommend that hugely to you all if you haven't tried it. Now, I believe that God wants to connect with us in this way and any other way possible, and you can learn that here at SVC. Jesus said he would be with us to the end of the world. Now, to elaborate on that, I think the scripture is saying that he will be there to make the happy ending of the end of the film. You know, nobody likes a sad ending at the end of the film. The film, and I mean the film that is our personal life and the film that is the history of the entire world, Jesus is there at the end to make it a happy ending. And this gives me hope that indeed one day everything will be made right. This is my favorite part of the scripture because I've worked with many, many youth over many years and I've seen many youth not encounter God. I've worked for many years with youth and seen them come to God only to, after 5 years, say that I don't believe in God. My hope, however, is in Jesus and his power. So I continue to charge on knowing that one day things will be made right because he promises that. Now, I also have seen, it's not all grim, things being made right with many a young person. Over 400 young people gave their lives to God over the last couple of weeks of Soul Survivor. And there are still more Soul Survivor camps to go. Amen to that. A girl from Lowton High and a non-Christian family who attends a discipleship group at Bridgewater's Cafe, which Evie goes to actually, she decided to follow God the other day. This is so heartwarming. A 12-year-old from a Christian family recently decided she would recommit her life to God, that she realized, actually, I love this God and I want to follow him. It brought tears to my eyes watching her walk up and respond in that way. This is so encouraging to me. So I'm so relieved and encouraged to tell you that the Holy Spirit is in fact alive and well and with us every step of the way. Jesus promises that. Now we're coming to an end. So I just want to say, all throughout the Bible, God is trying to reconnect with us, his children. He wants to see us have good and abundant lives that he planned for us and for all of humankind and for everyone in the, every kid, every parent, every family, all because he loves us. So in conclusion, I'd like to briefly reflect on my own story. I've come to know God's love for us through many people. My best friend at school, a random guy at work who invited me to come to church, multiple older people in the church. They've trained me, a youth worker, an older mentor, and a few church friends. He's revealed his love for me through prayer, words of knowledge, visions from the Holy Spirit, sermons and worship music, podcasts, books. I've fallen more and more in love with our God as people have invested in me and trained me in the way of life from a young age, in the way of life that Jesus had taught them and they had learned. And now that I know God's love, I'm compelled to follow him, obey him. He can be as bossy as he likes in the way that people have around me. They've shown me through their example. So just to finish, I had a bag of marshmallows, but I'd like you to imagine a bag of marshmallows. Say I had a bag of marshmallows here, and they were delicious. They were mouth-watering. And I just started eating the marshmallows. They'd be delicious, right? But say I had some friends here. I just want you to visualize that. Some friends who really love marshmallows as well. Just imagine me eating them continuously. What do you think is the natural thing for me to do? To keep eating them, right? Because I love marshmallows. Now, obviously, to share them. I just wanted to leave that message, that picture in your head. Once I share the marshmallows, they can enjoy the marshmallows. And then perhaps if I give them enough marshmallows, they can share marshmallows. I feel like God has given us this love and we can share it. He's given us this full bag of marshmallows, which is never ending, might I add, so that we could enjoy it. And then he commands us in the scripture to share it. So the message is simple. God loves us, and the challenge is the same as usual. Share this with others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your love and your good plans for us. Thank you for your love for this community, for all the people in it, for the families, the children, and the youth. Thank you, Father. Father, please help us to know your love for us more. I know there's so much more of you to know and so much more of your love to know. And Holy Spirit, help us to share your love to those that need it. Amen.
Well, wasn't that fantastic? Thank you, Werimo. Please, SVC, let's hang on to what Werimo said and his passion, because I asked to ask Werimo to come here today because, and he knows I'm going to say this because I asked him, was it okay for me to say, because I didn't want to be one of them. It's never happened to me where someone finishes a sermon off for you, but I felt it was really important that Werimo came to us. Back in May, some of us went to a little conference that the bishop put on about church plants, which is what SVC is. And some of the stuff we found out was quite sobering. Most of the people who go to church in the Greater Manchester area are over the age of 65. And if I was just sat in my little spot there, and I've been thinking about, 10 years old, SVC, and I'm thinking, 10 years from now, what's it going to be like? And I just looked around and I thought, what are we all going to look like in 10 years? And jokes aside, it is quite a sobering thought. And we need to encourage our youth workers. We as a leadership have talked about how we can start looking at things. Obviously, changes are happening in September, so we're going to keep praying, keep looking, keep thinking, keep talking. This is it. This is it. They're all crying hallelujah. Well, but seriously, I remember something Alan said when he preached last time but one. He's joined the gym because in 10 years, if he doesn't do something now, 10 years from now, it'll be harder again. Think on what Wirimu said. Pray for your leaders. Pray for, if I can be indulgent, pray for me. Pray for all of us, because as I say, Wirimu has been fantastic today. His passion, his joy, and we need to catch some of it, because unreached countries, very soon Britain is going to be one. And that's a sobering thought. So let's pray. Let's get our hearts right. And let's ask God, God, what do you want us to do? Amen.
Amen.